And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. I mean, I'm talking about spanning south of Birmingham to north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Okay, so we got a caller that came in during the break. Is that right, Boomer? Yeah, line one. Kent from Decatur. Kent, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing fine. How are you, sir?
I'm good. What's on your mind?
Well, what they're trying to do to President Trump, that's the main thing. I've got other things, too, the border, the southern border. I mean, there's a lot going on. But today it's President Trump, brother.
Yeah, I agree. Tell me what your thoughts are.
Well, as I was telling Boomer, or your call screener, I first heard this last night on – I was watching Jesse Waters, and I was just absolutely stunned. And he spent a lot of time on it and on the FBI raid, that is. And the more I thought about it, the angrier I got.
Yeah.
And I know just yesterday day before you were talking about angry white men. And FBI, Biden, FBI, if you're listening, I'm here. I'm mad. And I thought, what can I do? And I sent a contribution years ago to Trump campaign just because I knew they kept up with contributions. And I wanted to send a message before the first impeachment. And I wanted to send a message. And I'm thinking, how can I send a message to the FBI? So I got on my smartphone, and I looked up FBI offices. And as far as I know, I ended the search right quick because I kind of got paranoid. But as far as I know, there's an office in Birmingham. And you being an attorney, I figured you would be a good one to ask advice.
Okay.
I'm thinking I'm going to go. I'm going to make me a good size sign, and I'm going to protest in front of the FBI's office. And on one side, it's going to say Trump forever, and on the other side, it's going to have big letters FBI, and that's going to stand for. And I can't say it on the radio, but the F. I think everybody knows what it means. B is going to stand for Biden, and I is going to stand for investigators. FBI. I'm mad as hell. I'm sorry.
Oh, mad. Man.
I'm not going to take it no more. I'm going to vote. I'm going to vote this coming time. I always vote. But this time, I'm going to vote. I'll just put it that way.
Well, this time you're going to vote with a passion is what it sounds like. And I tell you what, here's the thing. I mean, we can imagine where the vote's going to go in Alabama. That's, and we're a generally red state. I mean, where you and I live right now in North Alabama got the highest percentage of votes for Trump in both 2016 and 2020 in the entire nation. And so we can imagine where it's going to go. It doesn't mean we let our guard down. Doesn't mean we don't vote or get lazy. But what it also means, though, is if you got friends in other states, you got to tell them to get out. If Trump doesn't run, if it winds up being DeSantis or somebody like that, we still got to get out there, because the only way we're going to make a change is to do just that, is to put other people in office who will make the change. And you know, as for the protest, I can't give you any legal advice. All I can do is tell you, be careful, because right now I think we're looking at the weaponization of government. Don't put yourself on their radar, if you know what I'm saying. Make sure what you're doing is prudent and it makes good sense.
I understand that, and I appreciate that advice, and that's why I'm not in Birmingham right now. But
okay.
But I thought, you know, I know you served the country overseas, and let me take this opportunity to say thank you and all the other people that have served. Hmm. I never served, and that's one of my big regrets. I had my dad serve, my two older brothers served, and I'm old. I'm 67 years old. I'm too old to go overseas, but I figure the least I can do is go stand in front of the FBI and send them a message. That's what George Wallace used to say. Send them a message.
All right, brother. Well, you be careful. Be wise. Keep your head on a swivel. Keep your powder dry, all right?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, Kent. Take care. Man, see, that's the kind of thing I cannot help but believe, Boomer, that they have awakened a sleeping dragon. I mean, This is the kind of stuff that when they do this, they had to have. I mean, did they?
They had to have known that they're gonna, like you said, awaken a sleeping dragon. Everybody's just starting to actually see.
Yeah,
what's happening?
And you know, I was talking to Charlene this morning, and so part of me looks at this and goes, "All right, did they fully calculate this? Is it because they? No, I take it back. I was talking to a guy on the phone, and did they fully calculate this because they've got some kind of inside track on what they think the results of the elections are going to be, and they're not worried, or is it because there's just a desperate push to scratch and claw and get everything they can right now because they are worried? And that's where I think it is. I think it's. You know, and I can look at it biblically again. It reminds me of Satan thought he had it going on when he hung Jesus on a cross. He thought he had it going on. At any given moment, Christ could have jumped down off the cross and put a whooping on him, but he went through the whole thing. But in the end, the veil in the temple was torn in two. And suddenly Satan realized his plan is backfiring. So I look at this and I'm thinking, you know, part of me, I take heart in knowing that what they did do was make a whole bunch of conservatives mad, and it's not going to go away. I think we have to be wise. I think we cannot allow ourselves to be baited into something that they can use against us. I think we have to avoid another January 6th, obviously. But at the same time, we do not need to sit idle and sit still and not be aware and you know, deal with the issues. All right, let me jump into my stuff. Because I got stuff, man. I got all kinds of stuff. What else do I got? First of all, press conference was just held. We got nothing. Go figure. What you got, man?
I mean, do you think someone else is going to come out from the White House other than...
Karine Jean-Pierre?
Yeah, I couldn't even say that name.
No. So. No, you're right. I mean, who was going to come out there? Was Director Ray of the FBI going to come to the microphone? No. Was Merrick Garland going to show up at a DOJ press conference? No. By the way, keep in mind, folks, Charlene pointed this out to me, credit to my wife, that Merrick Garland was the one that almost got appointed to the Supreme Court. Remember that? Almost happened. I was commenting to somebody else this morning that in that regard, I may not be a huge fan of Mitch McConnell and his, you know, kind of moderateness and sort of tepid way of doing things. But Mitch McConnell blocked the opportunity for Merrick Garland to be appointed to the Supreme Court. Praise God, because that's the guy who's heading up the DOJ right now, authorizing raids like this. Now, I don't, you know, if something real comes out of this, then I have to sit back and go, huh, I'll admit it on the air. Right now, what I know is this. This sets an awful precedent. This sets an awful perspective. This sets an awful level of distrust and angst in the average citizen. This is something that I anticipate did not have to happen this way. And all they have done now is inflame the passions of the same people who are already inflamed. And if they think that, you know, it's one of those situations where you look at it and go, okay, Benghazi ain't going away. You can lay siege to us. But 13 hours later, we're still going to be here. That's the way it feels right now. They've been trying to lay siege to conservatives, but no. FoxNews.com reported last night, FBI raids Trump's Mar-a-Lago, which is, quote, unprecedented for an agency to execute a search warrant against a former president. It's never happened before. Keep that in mind. It's never not that they're above the law. It's not. But what we're saying here is the idea that this had to happen the way it did is unprecedented. And oh, by the way, you talk about it drives them crazy that not only is he the former president of the United States, meaning he's got every bit of security around him, he's got a security system, I'm sure, he's got the resources, he's a billionaire. If they don't think he can hire the right lawyers, they are smoking crack, because I'm telling you right now, he has legaled up this thing right now, and he's about to try and wear them out, I would imagine. Now, I've already seen conspiracy theorists out there on social media saying things like, you know, oh, it was Trump colluding with the FBI to bait people in. This was a joint. No, it wasn't. But article from Fox News goes on to say it's a huge move by the FBI in that the political sensitivities are clear. It's obvious they're dealing on a very sort of tenuous political climate when you go out and you investigate a president, especially one who says he may run for office again. There's that. I mean, let's set aside the fact that he's President Trump. What if he was just, let's pick one, Ron DeSantis? What if this was Ron DeSantis? Ron DeSantis is seen as one of the front runners to run against Biden or whoever they put up on the Democrat ticket in 2024. It would still look bad because it appears that they are targeting their political opposition. They could say, well, we had deep concerns about some boxes of documents that the archives wanted copies of. Okay. How about this? That's bunk. How about this? You knew exactly what you were doing. How about this? You cannot escape the appearance that you just targeted your political opposition. And of course, the GOP is slamming it right now. I mean, did they just hand basically the golden goblet right now to here, take a big drink from the golden goblet, GOP. We're giving it right to you. Yes, you are. Story from Fox News again. Second story I got from Fox in a row. GOP slams the weaponization of the DOJ after Trump's Mar-a-Lago raided by FBI. Dems call it accountability. Quote from Ron DeSantis in this article, the raid of Mar-a-Lago is another escalation in the weaponization of federal agencies against the regime's political opponents, while people like Hunter Biden get treated with kid gloves. Yes. Now the regime is getting another 87,000 IRS agents to wield against its adversaries. Banana Republic. That's his quote. House GOP leader Kevin McCarthy issued a warning to Attorney General Merrick Garland that extensive oversight by Republicans in Congress will be heading his way. Attorney General Garland, he said, preserve your documents and clear your calendar. I hope so. Big talk. I hope so. What about this? Christy Noem called it un-American. How about this? Then there's a squad member, Representative Pramila Jayapal, Democrat from Washington. The FBI is just working towards accountability. That's what happens when you break the law. Try to steal an election, cite a deadly insurrection. Donald Trump should be in jail. A deadly insurrection. Who died? Oh, that's right. One of the protesters who was unarmed, Ashley Babbitt. What insurrection? Oh, that's right. Nobody was there to try and overthrow government. Unreal. What else have I got before we go to a break? Now, I'll tell you what. It's 2:47. Let's go ahead. Boomer, take the break, brother. Let's go ahead and do that right now. We'll come back. I've got something here that needs to be taken into account. The president allegedly had documents in his possession. They were concerned. Some of them might be classified because now they're concerned about that. Now that's not Hillary Clinton. Who has the authority to declassify? 1988 Supreme Court case of Navy v. Egan. I'll tell you about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative and just plain right. So let me ask you this. Any of y'all out there ever dealt with classified documents? You know it. I mean, you take it seriously, right? Classified documents. Well, they're saying that right now, storyline is that what we know thus far, because it's not been fully released, what we know thus far is that allegedly the raid on Trump's home was in relation to concerns that he had documents, some of which may be sensitive or classified, that he had taken with him from the White House. Now, first of all, I'm calling bunk on some of that, all right? So unless he walked out with something that, you know, like the President's Book of Secrets and he was going to give up what's in Area 51, I don't think there's going to wind up being a raid on his house because he has something related to a conversation he had with a world leader once during his tenure. I doubt it. But here's the thing. The courts have long held that a president is the ultimate arbiter of what is considered classified and unclassified. So, truthfully, the person who can decide whether he's allowed to walk out of the White House with something is the man whose house they raided. If he packed up boxes to go, and his family is saying he's very prone to be, he's very sentimental, he's very prone to save newspaper clippings and photographs and things. I'm be honest with you. Things can be declassified unless they are so sensitive to the national interest, then the person who would make that decision is him. 1988 case of Navy, Department of the Navy versus Egan, E-G-A-N. Navy v. Egan held, among other things, here's a quote, "Unless Congress specifically has provided otherwise, courts traditionally have been reluctant to intrude upon the authority of the executive in military and national security affairs." It went on to say, "The presumption of reviewability is entirely inapplicable in matters concerning national security." In other words, the courts are loath to get involved on issues of determinations as to what impacts national security because it's an invasion of the province of the executive branch of government. The courts don't determine classifications. So if they find, by the way, that he had some documents that were marked secret, no foreign, or even TS, if they find documents, the interesting dynamic here is going to be that the ultimate defense for him is that if indeed he packed those up and had them moved before his term of office ended, that he's the one who declassified them in a sense. I once had a guy in the military who contacted me saying, hey, sir, do you have the phone number for, and he named a guy that used to be the intel officer or the S2 for our unit. Because this guy who called me was in possession of some photographs, and he was showing them to a friend. Here's we were in Baghdad, we're doing these things. And the bottom of the picture had a secret classification on it. It was a nothing burger. It was a picture that had been included in a higher-level presentation, but the picture was now removed from the context of that presentation. But someone saw the classification, and man, they were all over him like white on rice. He said, I got to contact the S2 and verify that he said that these were declassed. And I said, man, yeah. And I gave him the number, and he contacted him. It all worked out. Because what happens is this. The classifying authority then has the right, under most circumstances, to also declassify the information if necessary. The President of the United States, under Navy v. Egan, certainly has the authority. In fact, here's another quote. According to Article 2 of the Constitution, the court's majority wrote in Navy v. Egan, "The authority to classify and control access to information bearing on national security flows primarily from the constitutional investment of power in the president and exists quite apart from any explicit congressional grant." In other words, the courts don't want to intervene in the executive branch affairs on determining what is classified and the purposes of national security, and the legislative branch should not do also. This particular ruling has long been relied upon. It's still good law, and it's apparently the grounds on which they are saying that they raided Trump's home. I'm calling bunk. I'm saying that unless they walk up to the podium for a press conference like real soon, then people like me are going to keep dissecting this, and it's going to get worse, because they have now diminished the trust of the people even further in the institution of the FBI and the Department of Justice, and in the idea that we as a nation, we stand for due process. We don't persecute our political rivals. We may not like them. We may have to put up with negative advertising, but we do not use the province of the courts to go after people to gain the upper hand in a political situation. It is no more ethical doing that than it is as an attorney, as I as an attorney am not allowed to go after criminal allegations in order to gain the upper hand in a civil matter. The idea that they can persecute a political opposition, which is what it looks like, don't tell me it doesn't. Oh, Phil, you're overreacting. You're just a Trump lover. No, Trump aggravates me too sometimes. But the reality is this. He was soon to be, very likely, and probably still will be, the announced candidate who will go straight to the top of the ticket. He will poll the highest. And he is their true political opposition, and they hate him. And so they used and abused, potentially here, the powers of government against their political opponent. That's what it looks like. tell me otherwise. Coming up next, Jay Towne, former U.S. attorney, going to get his perspective on this. How does this come about? I want to know how this gets put together. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.